I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Hanson Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. More importantly, though, the man himself, Frank Dolce, hanging out with us as we are live here at Tim Daly Nissan. Come by, hang out with us. Vehicles all priced to move. Let's go.
That sounds fun. Let's go.
All right. Some frustrating things coming out of this game. I know there's a slight chance that Utah still could go to the Pac-12 championship game. There's like four or five things that have to fall into place.
I think the things that have to fall into place, if there are four things that have to fall into place, Utah has to win.
Yes.
Oregon has to lose to Oregon State. Washington has to beat Washington State. UCLA has to beat Cal.
Which is the one out of all of that is Oregon State beating Oregon. That you look at like, that could be a problem.
That could be a problem. Although Oregon's just a three-point favorite.
Yeah. No, but right that's the reason I bring that up is that all of those are somewhat realistic.
Somewhat realistic. Yeah. Okay. So
with that said, the likelihood of going to the conference championship certainly well diminished, if non-existent. Do you look at this game and look at this as being a – or this season as being a disappointing year?
Mm-mm, not at all.
I do. Eight.
But this is the reason. This is the reason. Let's have some perspective. Okay? Back in the early 90s, when Utah was fighting for their lives to get to a bowl game, a 6-win or a 7-win season was extraordinary. And now we take this through Urban Meyer and Kyle Whittingham's career where you've raised the bar. Like, you're not shooting for a bowl game. You're shooting for this year, you're shooting for a playoff berth. And you're shooting for a Rose Bowl berth. And you're shooting for a conference championship. So, like,
and a 7-2 Pac-12 season's not bad.
When you're shooting for those things and you finish below that, I guess you could say that's disappointing. But in the grand scheme, Utah football, over the history of Utah football, the bar has been raised to a level where an 8 or a 9-win season is a disappointment.
It's hard to hit.
Yep.
Okay, let me clarify.
And by the way, a potential probable trip to the Holiday Bowl. It's like, I don't want to go to the Holiday Bowl.
Hey, you know what? Listen, I feel the same way. Someone said Holiday Bowl the other day, and I threw up a little in my mouth.
Let me clarify.
But in reality, you would have given your left, you know what, 5 years ago to go to the Holiday Bowl.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In fact, I think I did.
Let me clarify my position on this.
Okay.
Because I do think it's a disappointment. So, it goes back to one thing and one thing only.
This?
Don't
Oh, I thought you were going to do the Billy
Crystal. Freaking pick
Come on,
against
man.
Florida on the 2-yard line when you need a field goal to extend. Once he threw that pick, disappointment set in.
Yep.
And there was nothing you could do about this season. It was over.
Disappointment. All the way back to September 3rd.
Don't throw the pick.
I hear you, man. And you are so he's so serious right now.
Well,
and fired up. Like I agree. And on some level I agree. And on another level I'm like, okay, well he threw the pick. Like, okay. So he threw the pick. He's what, a 22-year-old, 21-year-old? I don't know.
But the most unacceptable pick
and
you
he
can
threw the
throw.
Pick. Wait a second.
Wasn't
if
just
we want
a
to
pick.
Go most unacceptable, he had Dalton Kincaid 4th-and-1 wide open. He dumped it at his feet. I mean, is that unacceptable? He hits that throw 100 times out of 101.
That's unacceptable, yes. But that wasn't the waning seconds of a game where you had control. You could have scored, but the whole thing was set up. If it's not there, throw it out of the back of the end zone. We kick the field goal, and we live and we learn. If it's not there, get rid of it.
Well, you just criticized him for doing that against Oregon. He threw it out of the back of the end zone, and you said, was he coached to throw it out of the back of the end zone?
That was on a fourth down.
Well,
give the guy a chance on a fourth down.
Well, I don't feel the same level of disappointment regarding this Utah football team.
It was a real
This is a Utah football team that had lots of chances this year. They took a beating against UCLA. Maybe you don't ever come out of that game. If they played a second time, maybe they do. I don't know.
If they go 11-1 this year and miss out on the college football playoff because of that interception,
it's a success.
Okay.
Because you were able to overcome it. And get yourself the Pac-12 championship game and a Pac-12 championship potential win, potential Rose Bowl.
This team
The fact that you had a UCLA and Oregon loss on it absolutely emphasizes what happened against
this
Florida.
Let's just take a look at this football team, top to bottom. Is this a playoff caliber football team?
No. No, but it was very, very close to being. It was a true defensive rush edge.
Right.
A little bit more linebacker experience.
I totally agree.
And Tavian Thomas being Tavian Thomas.
A running game.
Yeah, that's all it was.
Well, those are pretty critical pieces. I mean, those are pretty critical pieces.
Yeah. The hardest one would probably be the linebacker experience. Cause
to me, the hardest one is the front seven experience. I still don't know, even to this point, and a good effort against Oregon, a really good effort against Oregon defensively, is who is your star in the front seven? Who's the guy?
Well, if you just look at job-oriented duties, it'd be Junior Tafuna. But we're used to finding guys that stick out like a sore thumb from doing more than their job.
Mm-hmm. You're going to be talking to one of those guys, right? Did you mention Nate Orchard?
Yeah. Oh, no.
Nate's become part of the show.
Advanced Windows, and we're doing some advertising.
Well, he is one of those guys.
So if you're talking about a guy that just did his duty on the front four, it's probably Junior.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted more from Junior. I wanted Junior to – but every team threw the double on him, and that's left Pepe open on a single team. And Pepe's now got 3 or 4 sacks on the season.
Yeah. Yeah, but didn't you – there's got to be 2 or 3 other guys on that defense that we all had high expectations that were never met this year.
Well, Van didn't meet those expectations.
Van Fillinger with the injury and then the performance up until then – I think we, and when I say we, I don't mean us, but I think a fan base, just because of the praise that was given to him before the season started, Lander Barton probably was given unfair expectations going going into the season?
I agree 1,000%. I can't hardly blame a true freshman,
yeah,
from being the standout performer in that scenario. I think, although Bishop did it last year, I mean, he stepped in and became a standout performer, but that's a very difficult situation for Barton to step into. I think he managed it extremely well, and I think he has an extremely bright future, but he wasn't necessarily a superstar on this team. I thought Diabate was good, but relative to what Utah had a year ago, there was a lack of productivity.
Yeah.
So
maybe that's unfair too, because the guy that he took over was a first, second round pick?
Well, he's going to be the rookie of the year.
And is an absolute superstar and will be in the league for 15 years.
Yeah, and he started out as a wide receiver.
Oh, okay. I forgot about that. All I just know is that some guy decided to quit the team so he could explore business opportunities. And we're like, well, who's this Lloyd kid? What can he do? And then all of a sudden, boom, off we go.
It's not who's this Lloyd kid. Anytime, this is what happens. Anytime an offensive football player lands at the University of Utah and Coach Whittingham notices some athleticism, he will ultimately land on the defensive side.
Sean Smith, hello.
Of the ball. Like, there's no question that's just, he has a super eye for that kind of talent.
I really like this team, Frank. I do. I like this team, and I like their character. I feel like it's hard watching. Since UCLA beat Utah, UCLA's gone 2-3. Utah's got a better conference record than UCLA. UCLA's gone 2-3 since they beat Utah the way they beat them, losing to Arizona and then last week USC in back-to-back losses. So that loss has become kind of harder to swallow. And Bo Nix being at 60%, not even rushing a single yard of gain, and still Oregon still beating Utah by thumping them on the defensive side, just feels like this season has been a letdown to me.
It's been I think you and I are thinking of letdowns in a different way. Like, I think it's a letdown because last year wasn't supposed to be the team. This year was supposed to be the team, but this year wasn't the team. Like, I'm still going back to the defensive side. Like, Bo Nix injured like that. They scored 20 points in that game. I thought it was a good defensive effort. It probably should have been a better defensive effort. I mean, if we're being completely fair, Bo Nix accounted for what, 80%+ of that offense before the injury?
I mean, should we get? I think And maybe we should be given more credit for Bo Nix being able to do what he did with that
injury.
Under
those circumstances. Yeah.
I am very impressed by what he did.
And UCLA, the UCLA game is more an indictment on the defense than any other part of it. Utah scored 32 points in that game. And Utah had no answer for Dorian Thompson-Robinson, who I, by the way, put him kind of in the middle of the Pac-12 in quarterback play. I hope that doesn't get you fired up, Scott.
But below Joe Montana.
Listen, just to be clear, Joe Montana's the best. I have Tom Brady as a very
serviceable quarterback.
It's a very close second.
A very respected quarterback.
A very close second. If I didn't have Joe Montana available to start a football team, I would take Tom Brady or Fran Tarkenton for that matter. I mean, those two guys were very similar.
I love how you just dismissed Johnny Unitas like he didn't even.
No, Johnny Unitas used to wear. I used to wear number 19. Johnny Unitas was my hero.
Wow.
Johnny U, absolutely. Absolutely. Johnny Unitas. One of an icon of all time.
Yeah, he is.
And one through to Dion.
Joe Namath. Kenny Stabler. I might start a team with Kenny Stabler.
Like, well, if you just for sheer entertainment value.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
The snake.
I mean, one quarterback through to Dion Branch and Danny Amendola, and one through to Jerry Rice and John Taylor.
I'll take Jerry and John.
You know who also threw to a branch?
Cliff Branch.
Jim Plunkett.
Jim Plunkett, yeah.
great Stanford QB.
We're live here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 4528 South State Street. That's us stalling while we get Rich here because Rich is delivering the savings.
Rich is the best. Rich, I'm glad to see you. You look fantastic.
Thanks.
Don't take on the Hans Olsen diet, because if you saw what he was munching down today, it would kill most average human beings.
That's what good genetics does for you.
Chips and a chocolate chip cookie.
A chocolate chip cookie and a... in an energy drink.
Like, I have to wash it down with something.
46 ounces or something.
You want to get the right mix there.
Yeah.
It's all about balancing the nutrients. Right,
it's all about that mixed drink.
Hey, 2% fine. There's a lot of people out there that hear interest rates, and they're like, oh, they're skyrocketing, and we're not going to get a good interest rate on this vehicle if we get a new one. 2%. My goodness, that's a heck of a rate you're able to deliver there.
It's an unbelievable rate, actually, but it is true. And it's on almost every vehicle that we have here. So it's just a matter of coming down, picking out your car, and have us show you what the payments look like on whatever you're looking at. It's that easy.
So if somebody comes down here and says, hey, look, Rich, I really want that. I love that Titan, or I love that Rogue. But you know what? It's end of year, and we're going through a little transition at work. I can't make a payment until maybe January or February. Can I make that work?
You wouldn't believe how many times I hear that story. And it's over and over again, and over and over again, we make that work. That's pretty easy to do. If you need, even if you need 4 or 5 months, most of the time I can work with you on that as well.
Wow.
So it's just a matter of, let us know how you need the deal, what your situation is like financially. We understand the changes that have happened on the economy. We're dynamic here, and the economy's dynamic, so we're a good blend.
I love it.
You come in here, you tell us what the problems are. We solve the problems.
Forever warranty. You have a chance to save a ton of money because the big ones, the engine, transmission, if any of those go out while you own your vehicle, regardless of how many miles or years, that's taken care of.
Yeah, and that's something that's unique for our dealership. That's what we do. We call it the 21st century way of doing business for clients now. Not 20th century.
Yeah.
That's old news. Okay, we're 21st century. Come on down here. See how that works for you. Because as unbelievable as that sounds, we will put a warranty on that car for as long as you own it. I don't care how many miles. Take a trip to the moon and back. That's 500,000 miles. You still got a warranty.
Got it. Love it. Yeah. All right. And then finally, it's the holiday season coming up. And you guys, the programs you have down here to try to help out those in need during the holidays is awesome.
Yeah, we have our big program here is Toys for Tots, which we love. We work with the United States Marine Corps. They come in here, and we collect money, and we collect toys for the children. So if you're interested in helping out the kids, which a lot of our clients are, and a lot of the listeners on the Zone, come down, bring the toys. Let's make this a special time for the kids.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Come on down, say hi, 4528 South State Street. It's Tim Daly Nissan in Murray right here on the Zone. Awesome.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
Joining us now, yes, tight end from the University of Utah, Dalton Kincaid. You've played in a lot of different environments now. How does the home field stack up? You know, does that stuff matter when players are picking where to go?
I can't really imagine being a recruit and coming to a home game and just experiencing the atmosphere that Utah has to offer and not fall in love with the place. Can't imagine being like a tight end recruit in high school right now and Utah not being one of the top two schools that you look at. I mean, between us and Georgia and the utilization of the tight end position, I can't imagine another school that you'd want to go to.
Hear Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do
in the face of an international disaster decades in the making. That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and their life is better than yours. Damn right, it's better than yours. I could teach you, but I have to charge. My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and their life is better than yours. Damn right, it's better than yours. I could teach you, but I have to charge.
You want it, the thing that makes me.
All right, it is time for your Pac-12 Shakedown. Everybody looks forward to it. It's their favorite segment of the...
He's brining his turkey.
Yeah, that's a brine. Why did he put it in his refrigerator? Don't you get a pot? Get a stock pot for that.
He used the crisper drawer.
I know. That's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, but you got to admit, that's a little bit
pretty
genius.
Ingenious, honestly.
It's airtight, so I don't even want to hear it, Frank.
The reason people are coming at him is because they didn't think of it first.
Exactly.
They're just jealous.
I sent a tweet. I had to delete it.
Yours was good, by the way. That got mentioned a couple times.
Who?
What did your tweet say?
Mine?
Yeah. Did your tweet say something like this? I've seen a lot of stupid things in my life.
No. This is not stupid. This is brilliant.
Wow.
You're using the CRISPR drawer.
What kind of technique is this?
Plus, it also eliminates a lot of space for like celery and stuff that you don't want it for on Thanksgiving.
Yes. Your baby carrots are out of there.
Yeah.
Kick those white crusted baby carrots right out of that drawer. Get your brine on.
Get your brine on.
I hope your refrigerator. I hope all of your food for the rest of your life with that refrigerator tastes like brine.
It won't. It's fine, Frank.
It's not.
It will permeate.
That will permeate the soul of your refrigerator.
You watch. Everybody's going to do it like this next year.
Yeah.
No one will.
I think you got a trend going on there.
Without any explanation, I called that the Jeffrey style.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's not okay.
Yeah, I know. That's why I deleted
it. Yeah, that's probably for the best.
So,
all right, game of the week in the Pac-12. How about USC outlasting UCLA 48-45? Hope everybody took the over on that one because that was a old school shootout there.
You know, in that game, I think two quarterbacks revealed themselves in that particular football game. And the winner, in my mind, became, after that performance, the best quarterback in the Pac-12.
The guy that didn't throw the pick.
Without question.
To end the game.
Without question. His ability, like I have been very cautious on Caleb Williams all year long. And that solidified, you know, all of the potential in Caleb Williams. And by the way, he's a true sophomore.
You know, Hans and I had a chance to chat with him at Pac-12 Media Day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of the weirdest experiences that we've ever, I don't know. I'm speaking for you, Hans, a little bit. But
it was a result of where we're headed with the college world.
So he had two PR people that wanted headsets on to listen.
Oh,
And he gave the most Carlos Boozer plastic answers you could possibly think of. And they're looking at him like, don't say anything. And, you know, and it was just like so contrived and so manufactured. And it was really kind of silly, honestly.
Yeah.
And so part of me, and it's probably not right, but part of me has kind of held that against him thinking you're just a, like a Russell Wilson, you're a manufactured person.
Sure.
But to see him go out and play a game like that and win a game like that, you know, you got to tip your hat because that was super impressive.
He cried after the loss to Utah. He was visibly emotionally shaken after that loss. That showed something to me because I think you're right. He does come across as a little bit of kind of this robotic, manufactured sort of personality. And his interactions with his coach and maybe with his teammates, they don't always come across as professional.
Yeah.
please understand. Now, I do realize he's a true sophomore. It's a lot to learn, but the way that he managed that game against UCLA, and the plays that he made, and the mentality, the calm, the presence he demonstrated, like that was so. So if you ask me about quarterbacks who have all of the gifts to play at the next level, that was a game that said to me, Caleb Williams is a next level talent.
He had one throw on the run that was incredible.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I know exactly.
Kind of side-slinged it.
Mm-hmm.
How hard is it to throw for 470 yards? Take that UCLA defense into consideration. I think Cam Rising had 270 against that UCLA defense. But Caleb Williams goes for 470.
Caleb Williams has a tremendous set of assets catching the ball downfield. Very good tight end. He's not Kincaid-level tight end, but a very good tight end. Three way above average wide receivers. And even with the loss of Travis Dye, a substantial run game. Substantial run game. So he has all of the components. Now, he's the guy that still has to pull the trigger. And I thought he did that extremely well. And it wasn't like he was working from a clean pocket. I mean, he was buying extra time. He was keeping his head downfield. He made maybe one mistake in that game where he probably should have run the ball, and he tried to sling it out to his receiver on the sideline. He missed it on a fourth down. But outside of that, I thought he was tremendous.
Cal beats Stanford. Stanford's got BYU coming up this week. Washington State gets past Arizona. Washington State now is 7-4 on the season after what they went through last year with the coaching, you know, debacle and how they handled that whole thing. Washington State's turned around nicely. And then Oregon State now 8-3 on the season after they blow out Arizona State. It sure is a have or have not year in the Pac-12. Like, you're either winning 8 or 9 games, or you're winning 2 or 3. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. Did you watch that Stanford-Cal game at all?
No, I've tried to stay away from both those teams this year.
I know Cal had 21.
I don't want any of that stink on me.
I hear you, but when you play that game, Scotty, you throw the records out the window.
What, all
even if they're
all combined 7 wins between the two of them?
Was it?
It was a great game.
Was it?
Was it 20-6 going into the fourth quarter?
Yeah. In the fourth quarter.
In the fourth quarter.
It was 20-6.
Cal outscored Stanford 21-3 in the fourth quarter.
And it was incredible because Cal had the fumble. Stanford, you know, throws in the rookie quarterback. He's going to run the ball. Tries to make too much happen. Cal strips it, picks it up. The guy who picks it up fumbles it, and then Servino, I think is his name, picks it up for Cal and scores the touchdown. Starkey, who's on the call, who also called the most famous play in college football history,
40 years ago, by the way.
Yeah, 40 years ago. Well, you know, unfortunately, he didn't see it all unfold. But he was certain during the broadcast, if you listen to this, because I did, he was certain that during that play, the ball was lateraled. And so he was like over the moon because he was getting a reenactment of his last game of the lateral. Well, the truth was the ball was fumbled by Stanford and then fumbled by Cal and then picked up by Cal.
Wow.
But he was like, he lateraled the ball. Can you believe it? It was so fun to listen to it.
So you got some rivalries coming up this week. Arizona State. Anybody care about that game?
No.
Well, Arizona will get back on track, I think. They had a terrible game against Washington
State. How appealing is that Arizona State job?
Very. To me.
I mean, you look back.
I'd love to see Deion Sanders at Arizona State.
Oh, I would too. But you look back, you've got, Sumlin was hired, and he failed miserably. Sumlin was at Arizona. You're right. My bad.
Herm Edwards at Arizona State.
Yeah. Herm Edwards at Arizona State. It just... I don't know. Like, it just doesn't seem like there's been. Todd Graham didn't have a lot of success there.
No,
they've
he cycled. Was their most successful though.
Yeah, but they've cycled through a lot of people, and they just can't seem to.
I don't know. I don't exactly understand Arizona State. It seems like it would be an appealing place.
It's another name, by the way, that's popped up for that Arizona State job is Bronco Mendenhall. Mm-hmm. I don't think Bronco would be a good fit at Arizona State. If I were Bronco Mendenhall, I would be, just based on personalities, I think the Colorado job would maybe fit him more than Arizona State.
Is that Nebraska job taken?
Not yet. But the interim guy, I know there's a lot of people there at Nebraska that like the interim guy. Mickey Joseph, I think his name is. Mm-hmm. And so there's a real strong support for him.
You can hardly go wrong with a guy with two first names.
Mickey. Mm-hmm. Mickey, hey, Mickey. And you're Joseph. So fine.
I like Bronco in Nebraska or Colorado.
Yeah, I don't think Arizona State's a good fit.
I think those other two are better fits than Arizona State.
Yeah.
What do you think about Urban Meyer at Arizona State?
Well, you'll win games.
He would win games.
There's a lot of collateral damage along the way, but if you want to win, Urban will get you there.
I hope he stays in the booth. What do you think about Chris Peterson? Should he come out of retirement?
He's been out, what, 3 years now?
Yeah.
4 years?
Yeah.
I wonder how much these...
If I were an AD, I would hire him tomorrow if he wanted it.
No doubt.
I wonder how much these old dogs are sitting back looking at the mess that is college football right now saying,
want none
thank
of that.
Heavens, I'm not in the middle
of
these portals and offering a kid $600,000 to come play for me and then having to recruit him each year.
When he comes in, he's like, you said I was going to play. I'm not playing. I wanted to transfer.
I think a guy like Kyle couldn't handle it. Peterson couldn't handle it.
UCLA won that game easily. Oregon State. That's a game, if you're a Utah fan, you want to keep an eye on.
Wait, is there a letdown?
Could be.
Cal UCLA, the letdown after the huge loss to USC?
That could certainly happen. It'd be pretty disgusting if you're UCLA and that happened, but it could. Oregon State. I think Oregon State hangs in there, especially if Bo Nix. I mean, he still isn't going to be healthy. It is in Corvallis.
There's only one team this year that's put up 400 yards of total offense against Oregon State, and it's not a Pac-12 team. Fresno State put up 400 yards.
Well, that's when they were healthy, and then they lost their quarterback, and now he's back, and now they're playing for a conference championship.
He's good.
Yeah, he's really good.
He's good. So, yeah, I mean, I think you have to pick. The logical pick is Oregon that game, but the rivalry in Corvallis, I would be in no way surprised if Oregon State figured out a way to win that game. Here's the big problem is Oregon State has a championship caliber defense, and they have a championship caliber offense outside of one very important position group. And I'll just leave it at that.
Quarterback. Yeah. Notre Dame, USC.
Did you say corner? Corner?
Oh, I didn't
with
say,
a Q.
I didn't say
quarterback.
I didn't say corner back.
Notre Dame plays USC. USC only a 5.5-point favorite.
Where?
Is there a letdown for USC?
At South Bend?
Nope.
At?
The Coliseum.
SoCal?
Yep.
Yeah, USC should win that game, but it's you know it's hard to play a game like that after a big game.
Hey, how much would a win for USC over Notre Dame help with the college football playoff?
It would help absolutely 0%. Because USC's not going to the college football playoff.
Hey.
Even with Tennessee losing.
I know. You know what, Scotty? You're right. Because there's lots of things that happened that we didn't think were going to happen. You said that a week ago when you were not with us on the show, but you were somewhere else. But you're right. A lot of things did happen that could
and
land
man had,
USC.
Had TCU not kicked that field goal,
they'd be in.
I know, but I want TCU in.
But I still think you went from a 30% probability all the way up to like a 60 to 80%.
For USC? Mm-hmm. 60 to 80?
So what you need is
60,
you need Ohio State to just kick the you-know-what out of Michigan and make Michigan fall completely out of the scenario. You need, obviously, Georgia is going to have to beat LSU. Is it LSU?
LSU, yes.
Yeah. which will happen.
Beat them soundly.
That's a win. Yeah, that's a winnable game. I think the other one, Ohio State beating Michigan soundly, is a very high possibility. Yeah. Probability.
So that knocks Michigan out of the equation.
Yeah.
LSU is going to be knocked out of the equation.
So
I think that Georgia, will get you there.
Yeah, Georgia, you there. Ohio State.
I think that they're going to find a way in.
I do too, actually.
That's my gut tells me.
Georgia, Ohio State.
I will buy you a milkshake at the very expensive place if USC does not get in.
If USC does not get in.
If USC goes undefeated the rest of the way.
Okay.
And does not get in.
Okay. Then you're buying the milkshake.
Then I will buy the milkshakes for everybody.
At the very expensive place.
The very expensive place.
Perfect.
The other thing.
I think that's great. But go ahead.
The other thing that's going to happen, TCU is going to lose to a 1-7 Iowa State.
No, they're not. Stop it.
It's just how the Big 12 rolls, man.
No, it's not the Pac-12. It's the Big 12.
It's the Big 12.
Does the Big 12 do that too?
It's intramural,
bro. So let me ask you this. Okay, let's just say, for argument's sake, that Tom Brady is better. No, I'm just kidding. Let's just say that USC finds its way into the college football playoff. Is USC from the Pac-12 competitive in any of those playoff games? And we're talking about Georgia, Ohio State, TCU, right?
TCU, yes. The other two, no. But the problem is they'll come in as a 4 seed. They'll play Georgia and they'll get boat raced. Yeah.
Like, he could be ugly.
Well, I mean, but that's what Lincoln Riley does. He gets his team in the playoff, and they lose badly in the first round.
But when is the last time we've had a college football playoff where that 1-4 hasn't been ugly?
Never.
It feels like it's always
either
ugly.
It's either Oklahoma or Notre Dame.
And it's either Alabama or Clemson.
Yeah. I like how last year Cincinnati gets in, and they lose to Alabama by, 17, 20 points. And everybody's like, you said you weren't supposed to be there. Well, that's what happens to Oklahoma and Notre Dame every single year.
Every year.
They get in there, and then they get boat raced. Like, well, you know, they tried really hard. Cincinnati goes in there like, that's a reason why a group of fives can't be there. They suck.
Can't ever let them in again.
Don't ever do it again.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, we'll wrap this thing up. Get you ready for Unrivaled straight ahead, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
I turn my preaching responsibilities over to Reverend Kinahan. Amen.
Reverend Kinahan. I've heard you called a lot of things, but never Reverend Kinahan.
Hey, I am an unordained minister.
Ministering to the masses, weekdays from 6 to 10.
I don't need to be ordained. My ministry speaks for itself.
You are so full of it, it's spectacular. I enjoy that.
Nope.
Reverend Kinahan.
You speak the truth as you see it, and you get blasted for it. So be it. I'm content. My maker is satisfied with me.
Catch DJ and PK, mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Hyundai, Utah's number one Hyundai dealer for 16 years in a row. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty wrapping up another edition of the show. Before we get some final thoughts from Frank Dolce, let's give away some Jazz tickets. It's a Jazz Ticket Tuesday, which means every hour we give away tickets. All you have to do right now is be caller number 12, 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-ZONE. You'll win a pair of tickets to see the Jazz take on the Clippers November 30th at Vivint Arena. All right. Let's just get it over with. All right. Frank, how badly does Utah beat Colorado on Saturday?
Colorado's not a good football team.
No, they are not.
It's unfortunate. We've talked about all the reasons why, but Utah. If Utah doesn't have a hangover, and I think this is a team that's going to be anxious to get back out on the football field and make things right. I think it's at least a three touchdown win.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'd say 42-17, 42-14.
Yeah, it's going to be a blowout. No question.
It feels like Hans has something else on his mind.
Is there something else you'd like to add to this?
Hans? What would you like to add to that?
Scotty, could you imagine bringing creamy, yummy, chocolatey chocolate chip cookies to share with people, but not bringing milk to wash it down? And how big of a jerk you'd feel like if you did that?
That's, Boy, pretty inconsiderate.
That's an excellent point you make, Hans. I sincerely apologize.
Could you imagine everybody sitting there eating those chocolate chip cookies, and it's all creamy in their mouth, and you're thinking, I could really use something to wash this chocolate chip cookie down, but you got nothing?
Well, could you imagine
on it?
Having to wash down that delicious chocolate chip cookie with some chili cheese Fritos and a Rockstar energy drink?
No,
can you imagine having to do that?
It's actually a pretty good mix. It's a pretty good mix.
Oh, man.
Boyd, I think it's time we shut this down. I don't know about you.
Hey, I just feel terrible.
Frank, are you brining your turkey?
Yeah.
Do you cook your own turkey?
In a pot. I actually have a pot that you put it in. I don't stick it in my refrigerator drawer and then say, oh, it's airtight.
It's watered. Yeah, but you know what Lloyd didn't prove? You know what Lloyd didn't have to do is go buy a pot. He had crisper right there.
But I'll guarantee you this time next week when Mrs. Lloyd is like, the damn fridge smells like wine, he's going to have to buy a new fridge.
Hey, friendly tip.
Oh, yeah.
Do not, I repeat, do not brine in a styrofoam cooler.
Oh.
The brine leaks through the styrofoam.
Ooh.
Found that out the hard way last year.
Good to know.
Hey, great to be with you guys as always. Go Utes.
There you
Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to all of you.
And
all of you.
Rich
especially.
Rich here as well. And Rich, you're handing out, look, it's pre-Christmas. You're handing out all kinds of goodies. But this weekend, that Friday and Saturday, those are prime shopping time right there.
Yeah, it is. That's our Black Friday program that we got going on. And so anybody who comes in on Black Friday is going to get additional discounts off on the car, freebies from the store. So it's time to come in and take advantage of the holiday season that's coming up.
Yeah, for sure.
And take advantage of that 2% interest we got.
2% interest. You're throwing in a forever warranty. You're giving more money than anybody else for trade-ins. And you also have a huge – like you got – I know a lot of people have really struggled over last year with inventory. You've now got inventory, and you've got 250 used vehicles too here on the lot.
I got 250 used. I got another 100 plus new cars.
Wow.
So we have a wonderful selection of new stuff that we haven't had in the last 2 years. If you've been looking for that Pathfinder or you want to get an Altima all-wheel drive for the wintertime coming up, now's the time to come in and take a look at everything we have. Frontier trucks, I got a ton of them.
Those are completely redesigned and rebuilt from the ground up, too,
completely
right?
Completely redesigned and rebuilt from the ground up, along with the Pathfinder. So all of our fans of Nissan products out there that are listening right now, if you haven't seen the new Pathfinder, you're in for a treat. And it's bigger, badder, better, parks easier, and gets better gas mileage than some of the small cars that are out here.
On a personal note, this is just you and me talking.
Yeah.
My wife is, she's on a path. She has a Pathfinder. Loves it, has already seen the new one. She still has a year left on her lease, and she's like, I need that new one. I'm like, she's got to wait another 12 months, but she can't wait for that new Pathfinder.
Yeah, and you don't have to wait, but if you want to wait because you got a good deal on it and you love the payment that you got.
You can help me out a little bit
on that? Oh, yeah, we're here to help you out. It doesn't matter. I've seen people roll in here. They bought a car a month ago. I don't like the car. Can I get out of it? Done.
Really?
Sure.
No kidding. Even on a lease?
Maybe you don't like the car. Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, sure. Hey, you let us.
See, there's nothing you can't work, is there?
There's nothing that we cannot make you happy on.
I thought that thing was like set in stone. I was stuck in that thing.
No. Bring it in.
Uh-oh. We might have to have a chat. Well, it's all right here at Tim Daly, Nissan in Murray, 4528 South State Street. See, that's Rich. Rich works miracles for you.
Thank you.
It's all right here at 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.